All right. Let's this morning we're going to get away from Nehemiah and go back over to Philippians today. We're going to refer to some you pray with us as far as just what's going on. Very grateful anytime, especially nowadays. Of course, it was just as bad way back when it is now as far as the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ being preached. And a few came out yesterday. I pulled the work card yesterday when we went out visitation, and they went out on visitation. There was the preacher and a couple ladies went out, knocked on the door, and there was a little bit of opposition. Yeah, but that's okay, because the people don't like it's not us. We can't take it to heart. It's because people hate Jesus Christ and they hate the Word of God. And that's a shame, but we can still go out and say, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And let's, if you wouldn't mind, I didn't pray for the Word of God today, the blessing, but then we might pray for these others. Father, thank you again this morning for these kids. But God, I ask you to be with the Sunday school teachers, and Lord, the ladies in the nursery, be with Brother John, our preacher, Lord, in the main service tonight. God, and help us as we look to your holy book and your holy word, and so grateful for it. Grateful I have a home in heaven. Look forward to that day. Bless now in your name we pray. Amen. Philippians chapter 1, if you would. We're going to probably finish up Philippians chapter 1 today, with the first chapter. But a little note, we had a nice visit with Brother Haben this week, and he has found a place to land. So what he's doing, he took the train out to Bismarck here, and he'll be coming back to Kalispell and getting ready to... he's got a little bit of stuff left over at the garage over there, and I already gave them a heads up that he will probably be coming down, and it'll just be a quick trip down and a quick trip just to pick up the rest of his stuff. But he is going to be moving to Bismarck, and we've been praying at men's prayer, and I know you have too, about he's going to go into one of those, he calls them 55 and older places. And it sounds like a real nice place. It's not real big. It's fairly cheap, you know, for all that. It has a little car garage and a little storage place where he can put his extra stuff. And he has lots of stuff, boy. We all have lots of stuff. But he asks about you all the time, praying for the best. God, he prays for us all the time. So I'm glad of that, because when he goes, he's such a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ that I'm amazed at, you know, just being around him. Like I said before, it just doesn't take a couple minutes and he's in the gospel.
Yeah.
And he is just so adept at that. And his boy said he's always been that way since they've known him, and they've learned a lot from that. But he's excited about that, to be a blessing in that place where he's going. So continue to pray for him, and I know he says he prays for us, and I believe that. In Philippians chapter 1, we're going to start down there in 25, and it says, "And having," well, the first part of when we think about that, the main deal, the whole Philippians about rejoicing and the joy of the Lord and having joy, and just us having joy as Christians, saved, that no matter what the circumstances are, and I don't know. And even, I was thinking about, remember when David Gibbs gave the testimony about his mother? And she was in pain constantly, all the time, 24-7, 7 days a week. And just had been for many, many years. But she was a great blessing to her. And that's probably why him and we have that ministry today. And we see there and how they, but man, those things happen. But you just rejoice in God. No matter what happened. I wish he was in a wheelchair too all the time. I don't remember that whole, what a deal. What a great soldier for Jesus Christ as we should be. So in spite of our circumstances and the things that we're in and the things that are going on, we can still have the joy of the Lord. But in Philippians chapter 1, it says, "And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and the joy and joy of faith." Now, I believe at this juncture, where is the Apostle Paul at? He's in prison. He's in jail, and he really doesn't have to. And I bet you he's even got a little bit of what's going to happen here not too long, too far down the road, that he's going to go on and see the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's He would rather go on and see the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at that here a while back, but he saw it was more needful that he be here. And that he'd be there. And that for the Philippians and the others, the Ephesians and all these Ephesus and all those others, for the to be a blessing to him. I was talking to one of our elder ones in our, the more mature ones in our church this morning about the importance of just filling the pew. Now you think about filling the pew, but being here, because people see that. And people rejoice over the fact that, they're still here. And, they're still there. And they're still here. No matter what happens, we can just, the faithfulness. I didn't give his name, but when Pastor Peacock was here, and I told you, I was kind of, it's just like when they find a preacher that is very, maybe not flamboyant, but is very successful in their ministries and has a lot going on, it'd be real easy for them to, I'm a little bit better than somebody else type deal. But that's not the case with him. I don't believe that at all. And had some nice visits with him, but he said one thing. It was right after we, Brother John had the ordination for him and him being the new pastor of Dillon Baptist Church. But he says it's because of the people that are here that you're still here. It's not because of him. It's not because of that. It's because of he called them the old faithfuls that are still here. And that's not just me or any of the oldest, but each one of us stuck by the stuff and stayed in the deal with what happened. And he says it's not about, you can have the best pastor in the world, but if you don't have a bunch of people that are, that have set their mind to do what they're supposed to do and to stay in the fight and just to stay faithful to the Lord God, you have nothing. And we're going to look at that a little bit today and encourage us to go on for the Lord Jesus Christ and fight for Him. But it says, in having this, and I know I'm always out, it seems like that's all I do lately, but that's what God has been putting in my heart, is to stay by the stuff. And we have our young kids. We looked over there a while back, and you look at the generation. I'm very grateful for the ones that have stuck it out and been around, but we've lost a lot of our younger kids because of things that have happened over the years. And that's sad. That's very sad. And another thing, we have one of our, of course, now when this little redhead down here in front, she's going to be leaving tomorrow, right? Yeah, tomorrow. And when she left the first time, that's hard. It's hard for us. And they go, and Grace and Brooke and all the other ones are gone. But are they going to find a guy here? Maybe. Hey, girls, maybe God is going to bring in some guys like that. Yeah. I gave this great friend of mine and we'll get going here in a minute, but my sister-in-law, she was going, she thought a spinster. And a school teacher and a spinster, and she was going to all the wrong places to find a mate and doing all the wrong things. She was saved, knew she was going to heaven, but finally she gave up. And she was teaching school in Arco. And how many have ever been to Arco? Yeah, it's not a real big town. And she was going to a little Baptist church down there. She had just forgot completely about even finding a mate. Thought, well, I'm going to be a spinster till I die, and that's okay. Just serve the Lord God. Well, there happened to be a gas man coming in, and they were putting in some gas lines in Arco, around the Arco area. He came on a Wednesday night, and then he came on Sunday, and then he was there for about a month and a half, and then he kind of had a sweet eye on her, and they went out to eat, and boom, there they are today. God can always find you a mate, okay? It doesn't. And God can find you a mate. It's just the way it is. God has been good to each and every one of us, so never give up. And maybe it is. God wants you to do that. We thought that Shanley was going to be a... No, we didn't. Not at all, baby. We like, kiss you. I got to do that because you walk outside and put a thump on me. Nah, I hope he wouldn't anyways. watch yourself. Yeah. But the fact is, the people at Philippi were so glad to have the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the Apostle Paul is reading through here, and he has these guys write this for that to be an example to us in Ephesus, just as the Old Testament. You know, when we think about the book of Nehemiah, we're looking just at a few things the last few times I've spoken. Nehemiah has mainly to do with the wall and the temple and all that. And then you go to the book of Esther and the whole thing switches. And they go back to Babylon. And back there in Ahasuerus, or however you say the king, back there in Esther and that whole thing. And we're going to look at a little bit of that today, the faith of Esther and those around that the Lord Jesus Christ, that God in heaven, they didn't know about Jesus Christ back then. They knew about the Messiah coming. But they didn't know him by name. But they had a God in heaven that was watching over him. And we see the people of Israel today, the anti-Semitic, all that stuff. It doesn't matter what you say, you get in trouble. But just let her fly and get in trouble and then go on for the next next day with the other deal. So let's turn over to 1 Peter, if you would. Now, I'm going to read verse 25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance in the joy of faith. We're going to stick around a while. He's going to stick around. He doesn't want to. He'd already, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he already got a glimpse of heaven. He knew what it was like. And if we got a glimpse of heaven like he got a glimpse of heaven, we probably wouldn't want to stay here. But I'm very, very thankful. I look forward to that day, but I'm glad I'm here today this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read a few verses here. In verse 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And this is all the area around there where Paul is even, you know, down in Philippi. This is that area. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling in the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now I've said this over and over, people know you. If you're around town much, I know I called the guy in the blue shirt. He says, you don't have to call me the guy in the blue shirt. So TJ's got a reputation in Dillon. And the ones sitting in front of them, they have a reputation in Dillon. If you've been around long, you have a reputation. And there was that reputation that I've heard, and I probably do too. This has been we're to be an example for the Lord Jesus. His reputation is good, is what I've heard. Now, they might have been lying to me, TJ, but no, I don't believe so at all. And one of these days, Matt, you're going to have a reputation here. You're new in town, the new kid on the block, but just do what you're supposed to do and just be kind to people and talk to them. And don't do what I did here a week or so ago. Because I get tired of eating crow, boy. But I like it. I must like it because I do it all the time. Well, back over 1 Peter here in verse 4, it says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for what? There's something there for us up there already. Now, we know we're sitting in heavenly places that God has got something. I was funning with Luke the other day. I think it was Luke or maybe his brother, were talking about, well, get to Horton. You know, at least maybe I'll have a gourd. And there won't be any of this stuff in heaven. But you know what comes out the back end of a horse? Well, a wheelbarrow with a shovel to clean up that mess. Now, that won't be there, but at least you'll be in heaven. You know, living forever. Clean up. There's not going to be any mess. There's no defilement up there. But God has got something for each and every one of us. And we can rejoice in that fact. Verse 4, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. You're kept by his power through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I'm very thankful that I can't. There's nothing I can do to lose my salvation. But I'm thankful that maybe I can be a witness and but be an example for our Heavenly Father, an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Paul was. And through this, this had happened many, you know, 1,000 years ago, and here we are. We're still over that. Here we are, still reading the same thing and preaching the same thing and believing the same thing. Because the Lord God has been good to us. You know, it's the Christian life, we know this. Get up in the morning, read your Bible, go to work, try to be a witness for Jesus Christ, go to Awana, go to church, go to youth, and do that thing. It's just a never-ending circle, but that's okay. We just keep doing what we're supposed to do. We come be in the pew so people can see you here and try to get a blessing out of the Word of God. It encourages me when people are here, and it discourages me when people are gone. But the Lord God, it's, we know we have some that are gone traveling right now, and that's okay. And I just pray that the Lord God brings them back safely. And somebody's gone today. I don't know where he's at, but you tell him that I'm discouraged because he isn't here today. It's not the case. But I'm wondering where he's at, so you're going to have to tell me later. Eh? Yeah, I know a lot of you don't want to. Just okay. We can have a good time. We get so serious sometimes. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Boy, I'll tell you what. And I just, I remember what I said about my buddy over there the other day. And this is nothing to, I took a picture of that empty spot last night. I was going to send it to him. But I didn't do it because I didn't want to make you feel bad. So I just said it now to make you feel bad. No, I miss you. That's probably working, probably driving, or stuff happens. You know, it's just those things. And we get so rigid in the fact that we have the ministry of the church. And, you know, the ministry is just not this guy getting up here preaching this to us, but it's the ministry is everything that we got going on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when the trumpet blows and we get to heaven, we're going to, I know I'm not going to say I wish it would have, or I'm satisfied what I did for the Lord. Once that trumpet blows, it's all over, and just get what you get. It's so easy to get hung up with the things in the world and do the things. But let me finish here in 1 Peter 1, and then we'll go back to Philippians chapter 1. Verse 6, it says, wherein we greatly what? Rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. You know, the temptations we have today are, there was a lot of temptations I just don't have anymore. We were talking about, here's one, I used to chew when I was younger. And when I got married, almost lost my girlfriend that I married, because I just wasn't going to quit. And she didn't like it. And all that kind of stuff. So finally, I kind of came to, well, if I'm going to stick this thing out, I'm going to have to quit this thing. And I did quit that thing. But, you know, just because I quit that thing doesn't mean that I still don't like it. But I'm not going to partake of it. Why? Because it's just something that I got rid of and something that God has given me victory over. And there's a lot of things, temptations and stuff and trials and temptations that we have. And I can rejoice in the fact when the Lord Jesus Christ gives me the power and gives me the victory over these things. And victory is a great deal, and we'll see how great it was, is when we get to heaven. Now, let's go on there. Now, let's go ahead. No, we're not done yet. Wherein, verse 6, we greatly rejoice, so now for a season, if need be, are ye in heaviness through manifold temptations. And the devil is going to tempt us. Every place, almost, I didn't go through it. I didn't get the thought until this morning. But you think about in the scriptures, Genesis chapter 1 or 2 and 3, there's an adversary, the devil. And then we saw Sanballat, Tobiah, an adversary to Nehemiah. And then we have over, and we're going to go over there in a little bit in the book of Esther, who was her adversary? Haman. There's always an adversary. If you're trying to do right and trying to do something, the Lord Jesus Christ, there's an adversary last night. And I'm going to take his win, whatever. you guys went out and did your thing, and we got a message on the answering machine. It was a very nice message. I didn't listen to it. He deleted it, and that's what he said. People just don't like hearing about the gospel. But there's others in town that are preaching the gospel lost. So we need to pray each other, pray for each other, and do what we can for the Lord Jesus Christ, and be a minister at all times, and be a witness at all times to those around us. All right, now let's go back to Philippians chapter 1. No, I'm going to read one more. You go ahead and go back there. But the trial of your faith in verse 7, being much more precious, and your faith is going to get, there's going to be some trials with our faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found under praise and honor of the glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I've never seen Jesus Christ. You know, you think about it and you see these pictures. I mean, he's probably going to have a big nose maybe because the Jews have. I don't know. I don't know. His hair is going to be white, black one time, white now. And boy, the look on his face, is, I'm going to be so ashamed for not standing up more of the Lord Jesus, more for him. But we can joy with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Philippians chapter 1. Again, let's go back over there. Now, verse 25, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that you're rejoicing. You know, maybe you don't know this, but and maybe you do know this, and I'm just telling you something you already know. Brother Haddon couldn't. He didn't know what his exit, that the exit time was. He didn't know. He said, I don't know what to do. That's what he said. But God, you know, he said, well, God showed him the time when it was going. And he said, well, I guess maybe God was showing me before. But we don't know. A lot of times we have to just walk by faith, that faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he's going to do according to his will. And he's rejoicing in the fact he's getting a lot of his stuff back in his arm. He's driving, and he said he took the going out there to find this place to stay. He took the train, and he said it was so fun. He's going to bring the train home, come back with the train, and get his stuff. Ever ridden on a train? Oh, there you go. I did once when I was a little kid. The only thing I can remember, I was probably 6 or 7, was choo 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 choo. You know, that's how they're when they're growing. They make lots of noise, let's put it that way, as they're going down the track. But he was really excited, probably got to witness a lot of people. But he said, I can be a witness here as it was a witness in Dillon, as a witness wherever we are, we can be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and tell people about him like the Apostle Paul was. Philippians chapter 1, verse 26, and that you rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Now he thinks he's going to come to him again, but it's always, you never know what's going to happen in the Christian life. We might not be here next week. We might be gone. The Lord Jesus Christ take us. We know where you're going to be leaving tomorrow. Sad times. It's good to have you here. But but we pray that the Lord God will bless you. In verse 27, now let your conversation, only let your conversation, and then we're going to, these last few verses we'll stick with for a little bit here. Only let your conversation. Now, when we think about conversation, we think about talking. Excuse me, talking. But our conversation is not only our talk, but it's our walk. It's what we do and how people perceive you. I was told, well, he's out in the back building. Tom is Simone dropped Tom off at men's prayer last night. And dropped him off, and I took him home. And Tom has probably heard the same things from me for the last that he's heard 100 times, or even 1,000 times. And I told him, I thank you for putting up with me, because I forget a lot of times what I tell people, and it's getting a little harder. And not Alzheimer's, and not that other thing either, whatever that is, dementia, and those things. But things are just they escape you, and I'm just a pup yet, so you pray for me. I forgot where we're at. No, I didn't. Verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the what? The gospel of Christ. that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast, one spirit, which one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know what? The first thing that preacher, our brother Haben, we call him a preacher too, he's still, it's just like that, Huckabee. I like Huckabee. You know, the governor, they call him Governor Huckabee, and that's a deal out of respect for that. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I said, preacher, how you doing? And the first thing, he wanted to know how you guys were doing. How's the church doing? I said, it's doing real well. Things are going good. God's blessing and rejoicing all these people. And then he asked about, you know, certain ones he asked about, and that are, how they doing, all this, and I said, yeah, doing real well. And he's very happy to hear that. The people are doing good in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've told him about you, Dale, a couple times, you know, and because I don't think you, did you get to meet him? No, didn't get to meet him, but he asked about you, because I told him about you. And he's just rejoicing over that fact, just like the Apostle Paul is. Again, 27 there, for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, that of God. And I'm going to finish through the end. We're going to bump back up. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, salvation, but also to what? Suffer for his sake. When I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I did not know. I knew nothing when it came to the Christian life, but I thought, oh, everything's going to be better now because I've trusted him. But it's not an easy road sometimes, because people dislike the gospel of Jesus Christ and dislike Jesus. They use his name, but not as a good thing, but as a bad thing, because the animosity towards him is, but it's because of him. It's not because of us. For unto you it is given on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. There's going to be conflict in our lives, and there's going to be things that go on. You know, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, in the latter times some shall depart from what? The faith. And we've seen that. I've seen it firsthand. And it's a shame. But don't you depart from the faith. Don't give up, because it'll be worth it all when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And his glory, we see his glory and the things that he has prepared for us. We go on for in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Timothy, he told Timothy to commit. He says, commit unto faithful men. He used to teach the things unto faithful men to where they go out and tell about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you think about these things, you think about we think about our Christian life and what we're going to do. And I asked Brother John this, and I'm not saying it because I felt real bad about it. You know, I was talking about that being faithful, and if there's only one thing probably I'm really good at, that's being faithful at different things just like that. I didn't say that to be bragging. I said it to be an example, because faithfulness is hard to find anymore. And you almost have to. We got a nice kid. I believe the kid's saved, and he's a nice kid. But that faithfulness thing, he just hasn't got quite yet. But he's young, and he's teaching that, and teach us about that, how to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Now let's turn over to Esther chapter, and we'll go over to Esther, the book of Esther. You know that little Jewish gal over here? I don't even know where it's at. I do too. I know where it's at. Esther chapter 4, it goes through in the earlier book, Haman, I don't know how he did this. Haman did. That's just encouragement. He got the king's signet. Now, well, I know how he got it, but all that. He had quite a bit of power, Haman did, in that area, in Shushan and the palace and all that kind of stuff. But he hated the Jews just like they hate the Jews today. And they hate Christians today. They hate Christianity today because they don't like the things that... Because if what we tell them is true, we're condemning them and their lives and what they're doing. That's why they try to get rid of the Ten Commandments and get prayer out of school, the Bible out of school, because they don't want to be told what to do. So what do you do is you go into the military. like we've said before, because they're not going to tell you what to do there. But over in Esther, the book of Esther, we already see this, the whole deal where Haman is, you know, earlier, he's writing letters and send them out and how we're going to kill all the Jews and all that. And they find out, Mordecai finds out a little later, and he starts to, he rents his clothes, puts on sackcloth, and Esther hears about that. And what's going on? Why are you doing that? She sends him some clothes, put some good clothes on. And he says, I'm not going to do it. And she goes, so then she finds out what's going on, and then the letters, and they're going to kill all the Jews, and it doesn't matter if it's man, female, or baby, or child, it's going to kill them all, and get rid of the whole thing. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Like, I think, what are we going to do here? There was a lot of times where we in our Christian lives, what are we going to do? Let's just trust God. Never make a decision when things are going bad. You know, sometimes you have to stand up, but don't make any bad decisions. They're bad decisions when things get going and we get mad and we go off or do whatever. But just wait it out. Just go through the fire, and maybe God's trying to teach you something over there. Anyways, in the book of Esther, and then look over here in 4, it says, when verse 1, then Mordecai received it. All this was done. Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. Imagine going downtown Dillon, Montana, going down and just loud, bitter, oh, God, help us! And just walking down the street or something like that. But that's what he was doing because he didn't know what to do. And they go on. Now let's turn over to chapter 5. And it says, now it came to pass on the third day, Esther put on her royal... Oh, I forgot something. We won't read it. I'll just tell. So what anyway, they got together and they talked about it. Esther tells Mordecai, tell all the people, let's fast for 3 days, no food, no water for 3 days, and then I'll do what I have to. And she says, she goes in there and she says, I'll go in before the king, which wasn't the right thing to do. At that time, and she says, if I perish, what? I perish. And whatever happens, we're going to go, because I'm going to die anyways. So let's die doing right. And she went to the king. Of course, he raises up the scepter and she touches the top. But when Mordecai perceived in verse 1, what was done, Mordecai rent. Oops, I'm sorry, I'm in 4. In verse 5, now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the court's house. Over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne, the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter, and goes on, and she gets to talk with him. And this girl is a smart cookie, boy. Just like I remember that little gal over there was talking about Naaman's wife, you know, when Naaman the leper and the whole thing. And smart little girl, boy, used some wisdom there and told him about this. And he gets healed later on because of that little girl. But Esther, just a Jewish gal, being told what to do by her uncle Mordecai. And he goes on. And the devil's always trying to get in the middle of these facts and do that. So anyways, not lack of time, but... We go on, she puts on her purse, goes there, and gets up there, and then she says, I want you and Haman to come to this dinner. I got a nice dinner, and we're going to have a nice dinner and go with that. Okay. Men are always, how do you reach a guy through his stomach? I'll tell you what, anymore, too much of that sometimes. But I always, David Gibbs was telling, and he told us one time years ago, when he get home, I think it was a certain kind of bratwurst or sausage or something like that, his wife would always make it for him. Because when he come home from a trip, and he'd hear it cooking, or smell it cooking, and she'd set it down, he'd cut it, this is so good, and all that kind of stuff. But the Lord God has got something good for us along down the road, just like that, because the end of our journey is coming near. And I hope it's the rapture rather than our death. Because we get to go all together. Now let's go over to chapter 6. And it says, one night the king couldn't sleep. Anyways, they get the dinner ready, and one night the king couldn't sleep. And he commanded to bring a book of records. of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king, and it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlain and the keepers of the door, who sought to what? Lay hands on king. There were these two chamberlains that were going to kill the king. And he took care of it. The king didn't even know about it. Mordecai took care of it, didn't know about it. And he says, well, guess who's at the door? Haman's at the door. He's in the outer court. And of course, as proud as he was, we know he thought that's who he was talking about. Of course, he had to go down and run before the horse. And this is what's done to the guy that the king likes, all that, and the horse and the crown and all that stuff. And he went ahead, and the Bible says that he goes home with his head covered. But because of the faith of, and it goes on there, go over to chapter 7. So the king and Haman came to the banquet. This is after this. And he was always telling his buddies and his wife about it, and then they were giving him wrong counsel about this whole thing. And it says there in verse 7, so the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of the wine, what is thy petition? He already said, give the half to the king. Now, here's what I think. I may be wrong, but it's not I believe. This is I think that when we die, that you're sitting up front. It's not because you're the preacher. Husband and wife, right? They're going to part alike when it comes to that. And same with my wife and that. We're going to part alike when it comes into the, as we work together for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's that got to do with here? Well, let's look at it a little further. Is it's what it is you're going to reap what you sow in a lot of things. But the king said again unto, in other words, says, I'm going to give you half of the kingdom, is what he's saying. He's going to give you up to the half of the kingdom. She goes on, they get the whole thing, and they get down, and then stuff hits the fan about that time. The hay hits the fan there because it all comes out, and the king gets mad and angry, and he goes out in the garden. And old Haman knows his goose is cooked, and he gets down there trying to save his life, and the king comes back saying, you ever seen that movie, Esther? Boy, that was a good movie. You know, that the faith of that young Jewish gal and how God used her for his glory, and then Haman is killed over there because why? Because we have an adversary, the devil, and he's going around roaring like a lion and all that, and he wants to destroy what we have. All right, we're down in the book of Esther. We could go on there more, but we'll just go on. Today the enemy is every day. He's trying to steal your faith, steal your joy, and steal your Christian values, steal your life, and get you to do other things. You know, we have during this right now, we have, you know what, all these different things that go on in our government that are just trying to get your mind off of the main thing. The main deal. And that's what the devil's good at. And getting us Christians, get our mind what's more important. Reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, living holy lives, and going on for the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil can rob us of our faith, he can cripple us, and he can destroy the ministries of his church. A preacher said, what we believe determines how we behave. Each local church is one generation from annihilation. And it just takes one generation. This church may not even be here. But God will have mercy on us as long as there's some people that are faithful to come in and be like just faithful unto the end. You know, it's no wonder today how we got to be careful with our kids. Devil's out to get you gals and you young guys and all that out to attack you and get you out. The next generation is gone. Who's going to carry the torch and go on for the Lord Jesus Christ? So stay faithful at your seat. Be in here when you can. And you and everybody sitting in this room for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be an example to others. The Bible's, well, we're to keep the faith. We could go on much more and all that. Just keep going on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, remember over there, and we're going to finish with this, but when Peter went up there, you remember, he pulled out his sword and he cut off the ear of Malchus, I think it was his name. The Lord bends down and picks it up, puts it back on. But what did he do to Peter? He rebuked him. So put the sword away. Because he was using the wrong sword. But God has given us in Ephesians chapter 6, I think it's 10 through 18, the armor of God, and Hebrews 4:12, where the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than what? A two-edged sword. And over there it talks about the, in Corinthians, it talks about the armor, the weapons that we have, the weapons of this war, warfare mighty towards God. And the, I'm sorry, I can't get it all. But we have weapons and things, and we have stuff. And he was talking about great Wednesday night. You missed it. It was on wells. And digging wells. Buried the wells, they redug the wells. Buried the wells, redug the wells. Just keep going on. And do what we need to do and dig down deep. They used to say that. Come on, Simonson, in football. I wasn't in there much. They said, dig down deep. And let's get after this game. They were talking about the game and all that. But we need to dig down deep. Because if we don't dig down deep and get on the rock of our salvation, and he will keep us until the Lord come back. Maltby Babcock, he was one of the guys. How would you like to be called Maltby? Hey, Maltby. That time. But he wrote, This Is My Father's World. We sang it here not too long ago. And I didn't. I quite understood. Life is, he says life, and it's still kind of a little bit, life is what we were to live. And the way we live our lives, we can live it for the Lord Jesus Christ, or we can live it for ourselves. There was a young man, close with this, and we're done. Now, I'm not even going to go there. We'll do that some other time. What we're trying to say today, be like, you know, we need to be, just stick it out until the Lord comes back and encourage us to do so. And be like these ones over in the book of Philippians that are still there. Remember, what is the 1040 window? That goes right by the Philippi, Ephesus, and all that where they were. They let it go. Now we got to go back over there. Why? Because they let it go. And they don't have what we have here today. But pray for each other. Let's stay in the fight. Father, thank you for the morning. Lord, bless now his brother, our preacher, Brother John. Lord God, bless him in the service to come. Help us as the people of Philippi. We don't want the light to go out here. We just want to stay faithful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. You're dismissed for a few minutes.